If you would please turn in your Bibles once again to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 is our text this morning. The word of the Lord. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the prophets in the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us this morning. We pray your good and perfect and acceptable will be accomplished in each and every one of us here. We pray that you are pleased with the worship that is offered to you this day. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be so pleased to take your word and administer it to us as you see fit. In Jesus, I pray that you would be so pleased to bless thy servant's work for your honor and glory. Help me to speak clearly, authoritatively, boldly. Help me to speak confidently, accurately. If I should speak anything amiss, I pray your forgiveness in advance. And I pray your wisdom for the church. May you be honored. May you be glorified. May you be worshiped in all that is said and done this day. And we pray that if there be anyone here this morning or listening to this message who has not yet begun to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you, Father, would be so pleased to grant them saving faith in thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would grant them the faith to believe, that you would enable them to see Christ for who he truly is, Lord and Savior. That you would be so pleased to bring them into your family, to make them adopted sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is in your holy name we pray. Amen. Beloved, as the days, weeks, months, and years go by, there is a temptation to question the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious return. Typically, and or in most cases, when a promise doesn't come to pass, we begin to believe that it will prove to be an unfulfilled promise. And rightly so, if there were a timetable involved with that promise. We've all been there before, right? Someone made a promise to us, and as time passed, we started to question whether the promise would indeed be fulfilled. We live in an imperfect world, don't we? Yes, we do. And for that reason, sometimes promises that were intended to be kept go unfulfilled, don't they? Of course they do, sometimes. But because we live in a fallen world, sometimes promises are purposely unfulfilled, while at other times they go unfulfilled because of circumstances that are beyond the control of the person who made the promise. You see, while we make and intend to keep our promises, sometimes things come to pass that prevent us from keeping our promises. We can think of death. We can think of illnesses, injury, loss of employment, etc. Many things can come into play that would prevent us from keeping our promises. So when we take time to thoughtfully think it through, there's always a reason behind a promise being unfulfilled, isn't there? Willful neglect, unforeseen, uncontrollable circumstances. There's always a reason for a promise going unfulfilled. But beloved, when it comes to the promises of God, we have no good reason to doubt that they will ever go unfulfilled, do we? Because we live in a fallen world, because we ourselves are fallen, we do at times question the Lord's commitment to keeping his promises. At least we entertain the thought that his promises may go unfulfilled. If we're honest with ourselves, if we're truly honest with ourselves and with God, we would admit that there are occasions when we question or at least cast doubt over God's promises. Consider for a moment the Lord's promise recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. There Jesus says, he makes this promise. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, he's referring to our daily provisions, all these things shall be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, Jesus says. Do we truly believe that if we prioritize being under the lordship of Jesus Christ in all things that we are doing, in all things, that our needs will be provided? Do we truly believe that if we put Jesus Christ first in every area of our life, in every aspect of our daily living, do we truly believe that if we do that, that our Heavenly Father will provide for our daily needs? Do we truly believe that? Do we really believe, or do we believe that there are areas in our life that must not be under his lordship for fear of going without something that is needful? A particular daily provision. Are we holding back in certain areas of our life for fear of a particular need not being met? Because we're not trusting in our Heavenly Father. Do we really believe in the promises of God? Do we really believe His promises will come to pass? Do we really believe that God is trustworthy? Do we really believe that God keeps His word? Truth be told, we tend to trust Him for eternal life, for our salvation, but when it comes to other promises He has made, we tend to question His commitment in keeping them. Another promise that is often questioned is His promise to work all things together in such a way that our best interest is addressed, our best interest being conformed to the image of our beloved Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, 28 through 29, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, voices this promise of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Beloved, do we truly believe that in all of our daily circumstances, the easy circumstances, the hard circumstances, the difficulties, the challenges, the good times, the bad times, the happy times, the sad times, the confusing times, the clear times, do we truly believe that God is orchestrating all of these events in our lives in such a way that He is conforming us into the image of His beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do we truly believe that He is using all of life's circumstances and events with our best interest in mind? Do we truly believe that? Again, if we tend to believe God when it comes to His promise of eternal life, but when it comes to His other promises, we tend to entertain the idea that He's not interested in keeping them. We may not come out and say it, that we don't believe God for these other promises, but the manner in which we go about our daily life demonstrates our disbelief. We may not say we're not trusting Him in these other promises, but the manner in which we conduct our lives, we are governing our lives, demonstrate that we truly do not believe that He is interested in keeping that promise, those promises. This brings us to today's passage here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 through 9. There were those in Peter's day, there were false teachers who were attempting to lead the church into unbelief in regard to the promise of the Lord's return. The promise coming judgment, which will be accompanied by the Lord's return, has been spoken of by both the holy prophets of the Old Testament, and the apostles in the New Testament by the commandment of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as you can imagine, the promise of the day of the Lord has been made a very long time ago, thousands of years. Much time has passed, humanly speaking, and yet it yet has to come to pass. Christ has not yet returned. And so one can understand why the promise of the Lord's return might be questioned, considering all of the time that has passed since God first made that promise. Thousands of years. But because we live in a fallen world, our patience easily runs out. And we tend to entertain questioning the Lord's promises. Certain promises may don't come to pass within the time frame that we think that they should. And so what do we do? What are we tempted to do? We are tempted to believe that God is not going to keep His word. All these thousands of years and Christ hasn't returned yet. All these thousands of years and the judgment day hasn't unfolded yet. Nothing like that has occurred yet. Is he really going to fulfill that promise? Or is it an empty promise? Beloved, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Numbers 23:19. Beloved, as we will see from today's passage, the reason behind the promise of the day of the Lord still having not yet been fulfilled is not because God is not interested in keeping his word. The reason why the promise having yet to be fulfilled is God's patience. It's his patience. Divine patience is the reason why the promise of the Lord's coming has not yet occurred. Read with me, if you would, verses 1 through 9, our text this morning, again, and then we'll look to the Lord in prayer as we look into his word. Beginning in verse 1, read every word with me. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with the water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, be with us this morning as we look into your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Again, read with me verses 1 through 2 of our text. Peter writes, Beloved, now I write to you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. In the previous chapter, chapter 2, Peter writes about the threat of false teachers. Peter warns the church that these false teachers bring with them destructive doctrines. Destructive doctrines that will lead many to follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. We see that in verse 2 of chapter 2. Peter also highlights the fact that these false teachers' destruction is sure. In verse 3 of chapter 2, he goes on to say, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. And so their destruction, their judgment is sure, Peter says. So by way of reminder, Peter sets out to shore up or strengthen the church's faith in the promise of the day of the Lord, that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He wanted to put before them once again the words of the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter wanted to shore up or strengthen the church's faith or trust in God's promise of the second coming of Christ by reminding her of the teaching concerning it, which was first spoken by the holy prophets and the Lord's apostles. And so false teachers apparently were teaching something contrary to the promise of the day of the Lord, because Peter saw the need to remind the church. He saw the need to review what the holy prophets and the apostles have already said regarding Christ's return. And so, beloved, it is not a bad thing to recall things that we've already been taught. It is not a bad thing to be reminded of those things that we've already been taught through Holy Scripture. Review is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Reviewing is always helpful. It is always helpful to review those things which we already have been taught. What do we do when we want to pass a test? What do we do when we want to successfully pass a test? When we want to pass an upcoming test, we review our study notes, we review the course material, we review, we reread, we re-examine, we recall. And so reviewing is not a bad thing. And so that's why Peter, he understood that. He understood this. And so he puts before the church again that which the holy prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles have already said concerning Christ's return, the day of the Lord. What does Peter go on to say beginning in verse 3? He says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Beloved, there were and there always will be those who are motivated by their love for sin. They will mock the idea or the biblical teaching or the promise of God of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They will mock the idea, the biblical teaching of the day of the Lord. I mean, deep down inside, they really don't want it to be true. Deep down inside, they really don't want it to be true, because to acknowledge God's promise of the day of the Lord, they would by necessity have to repent of their sins. They would have to forsake their sins and believe on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So they belittle the teaching. They make fun of it. They mock it. They make fun of it. Christians, they make fun of Christians because of their hope in the coming day of the Lord. And so they belittle the promise, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You keep saying Jesus is coming. You keep saying the day of the Lord is going to occur. You keep saying that any moment Christ could return. You keep communicating. You keep voicing this promise of God, supposed promise of God, that his son's going to return. Well, when is it going to happen? Because since the day of creation, things have been going on as they've always been. Morning, night, cold, hot, people being born, people being laid in the grave. Things are going on as they've always been going on. So, where is the promise of his coming? Since the beginning of creation, an event that comes so close to the day of the Lord has not occurred. Thousands of years have passed and the promise of his coming still remains unfulfilled. Where is his coming? When will he return? Has God really promised his son's return? Has he really said the day of the Lord will come to pass? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so their argument is basically all this time has passed since the beginning of creation. And an event like the Day of the Lord has never occurred. Worldwide judgment has never occurred. Therefore, the idea that it will occur needs to be abandoned. Needs to be abandoned. Beloved, their argument is flawed. Just because an event has not yet happened does not mean it will not come to pass. Just because an event close to it has not yet happened does not mean it will not come to pass. Think it through with me. Creation occurred. Prior to it, such an event never occurred. Never occurred. The flood occurred. Worldwide flood occurred. Prior to such an event, prior to that, such an event never occurred. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Prior to such an event, prior to it, such an event never occurred. Prior to that event, in world history, never did humanity see fire and brimstone fall from heaven, and yet it occurred. The incarnation of God Himself, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, prior to it, such an event never occurred. Beloved, just because of the Day of the Lord or something similar to it or close to it has not yet occurred, just because Christ has not yet returned does not mean the promise of His coming is an empty promise. Peter goes on to say, he says, "For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, in the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with the water. But the heaven and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition," that is, destruction of ungodly men. Beloved, that is what Peter is getting to when he says that in verses 5 through 7, in which we just read. Just because it has not yet occurred does not mean it will not come to pass. But Pastor Wayne, it has been thousands of years, I mean literally thousands of years, it has been a tremendously long time since the promise of Christ's coming has been made. Verse 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Because we are limited to space, time, and history, because we are locked into seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years, it may appear that God has forgotten about His purposes and promises. But He's not forgotten, beloved. I mean, to God, it has not been a long time since He ordained all that would come to pass in space, time, and history. That includes the promise of Christ's coming. That includes the promise of the day of the Lord. That includes the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. God is not limited like we are to space, time, and history. He's not limited to seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years like we are. He exists outside of such limitations. So then why the apparent delay of the day of the Lord? Why the apparent delay of the second coming of Jesus Christ? Why the apparent delay of the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men? What does Peter say in verse 9? He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to to repentance. Beloved, the reason for the apparent delay of the day of the Lord, the reason for the apparent delay of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the reason for the apparent delay of the judgment and destruction of ungodly men is divine patience. Divine patience. The Lord is patient toward his people. He's not willing that any should perish. Divine patience, beloved. Divine patience. That is the reason for the apparent delay. Again, what does Peter say in verse 9? He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Divine patience. There are still more that need to repent of their sins. There are still more that need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. There are still more that need to hear the gospel and believe. There are still more that need to be brought into the fold. And God is patiently waiting. Divine patience towards us, he is exercising. He is patiently holding off with fulfilling his promise of Christ's return because he is not willing for any of his people to perish but to come to repentance. That's what Peter is saying. He is not willing for his people to perish but to come to repentance. In Peter's day, there were false teachers secretly introducing destructive heresies, maligning the way of truth. Heresies, some of which were geared toward discrediting the promise of Christ's return. And so Peter set out to combat the false teachers and their destructive heresies by reminding the church of God's faithfulness, reminding the church that all that the holy prophets and apostles have said and are taught regarding the promise of Christ's return, regarding the promise of the day of the Lord, regarding God's promise to send his Son once again. God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus is coming. He is coming. And the day of judgment will unfold. And ungodly men will perish. They will be judged. And they will be destroyed. They will perish. The day is coming. It hasn't unfolded yet because our Heavenly Father is exercising divine patience. Because he's not willing for any of his people to perish. There are still more who need to believe, who need to be brought into the fold. There are still more who need to be brought into the ark of safety, Jesus Christ. At the appointed time, the day of the Lord will indeed come to pass. We need not grow weary, beloved, but only remind ourselves of divine patience. That is the reason why the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, the judgment and destruction of this unbelieving world has not yet come to pass. Our Heavenly Father is being patient toward us. He's not willing that any of his sheep should perish. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition, or we can say destruction of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your patience towards us. Father, we do thank you for holding off and sending your Son to judge and destroy ungodly men. We thank you for providing, we could say, additional time, more days, to share the gospel, to see more come into the fold, to see more to be brought into a saving relationship with you in and through your Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that each and every one of us here this morning, those of us who believe, Father, I pray that we would be found faithful, reminding ourselves of your divine patience. And as we remind ourselves of your divine patience, find your divine patience as a motivating factor in sharing the gospel with those who still yet have to believe, knowing that at any given moment, because we don't know when, but at any given moment, the day of the Lord, Christ's return, the judgment and destruction of ungodly men could begin to unfold. May we always be found faithful. And if there be one here this morning or one listening to this message who has not yet begun to believe, they have not yet been brought into the fold, Father, we pray that you would grant them understanding of the gospel, that you would grant them saving faith in Jesus Christ, that you would grant them repentance in faith, that they would repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might be saved from the coming judgment. In your holy name we pray, amen.